Praise the Lord. It's good to be in church on a Wednesday night.
Amen.
Could be a lot of places. We could be like some of the states that got hit a little bit harder than us. We could still be stuck at the house. But God's given us the privilege and the opportunity to come in His house. I bless His name for that. If you have your Bibles, find Acts chapter number 14. The book of Acts in chapter number 14. And I'll give you a short thought. I do want to give you a praise tonight. My sister, she texted me last night pretty late, but well, not real late, 7:30. And that's getting late for me, it seems like. I'm wore out by the time I get home from work, and my kids are asshole for about 2 hours straight. And 7:30, I'm tired. But she texted me, and she said, my nephew, the Lord had been dealing with him about getting saved, and he'd been asking a lot of questions and things of that nature and everything, and she, you know, spoke to him several times just to be sure of it. And she texted me last night, and she said, I just thought you might want to know that Bo got saved tonight. And she explained what he felt and exactly how the Lord was dealing with him. He understood. He's a young child. He's 6 years old, but I believe that God can deal with us. He deals with some people at 6, and He deals with some people at 50. But God dealt with his heart, and he realized he had sinned, and he realized that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and he knew that Jesus could take away his sins. So he cried out to him, asked him to forgive him of his sins, and I believe he did it. I know he did it, matter of fact, because that's what the Bible says. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that's what he did, and that's what took place. So I bless his name for that tonight. Acts chapter 14, I want you to find verse number 19. I'm just going to read a few verses of Scripture, and I'll pray and give you what the Lord's laid on my heart. Acts chapter 14 and verse number 19, the Bible says, and there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city the next day, departed with Barnabas and Debris. And when he had preached the gospel to that city, he taught many. And I want you to notice what your Bible says. He says, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must, through much tribulation, enter in to the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'd bless the reading of thy word. I pray for just a few moments tonight we'd set aside the things of this world, and we get totally focused in on you and your word, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts tonight, Lord. Pray for that one that might be struggling, those that are battling sick and death and disease, Lord. I pray that you give them a special touch and comfort, Lord. But most of all, we pray for those that are lost and undone without you, Lord. I pray that you'd speak to their heart, show them they're lost, Lord, and they'd get saved before it's everlasting too late, Lord. Help your servant tonight, and we'll give you all the praise and glory and honor for it all. It's in your sweet, precious name I pray. Amen and amen. By way of background here in chapter, I know we're starting in the middle of this book of Acts in chapter 14. But by way of background, I just want to give you a little background on it. We're looking in at what would be the tail end of Paul's first missionary journey. He's fixing to wrap up his first missionary journey. And quite the journey it has been thus far. I'm talking about you back up to chapter 13 when these men were sent out from the church of Antioch. And you'll find they ran into trouble. They ran into trouble. They ran into trouble, and they ran into trouble again. And not only that, but they saw many come to Christ. So no doubt, there's been a lot of ups and downs in this first missionary journey for the Apostle Paul and Barnabas. And right out of the gate, we find in Acts chapter 13, they're met with that old sorcerer. And that old sorcerer goes to the
these men to Paul and Barnabas, and he does everything that he can do to try to hinder these men from preaching the Word of God. They did not want them preaching the Word of God. And he took it a step further, and he tried to stop the man in whom they were preaching to, that chief deputy of that city, and he tried to stop him from getting saved. He was interested in what Paul and Barnabas were preaching. He heard the Word spoke to his heart, and he said, "I want more, I want to know more." And that old sorcerer said, "No, you don't." And he tried to get in the way, and he tried to hinder this man from getting saved. I mean, these men had just started out on this missionary journey, and they was already running into trouble. And wouldn't you know that's how the devil likes to operate tonight? You get out here and you try to do something for God. I mean, as soon as you step out the church door and you try to do something for God, there he is, trying to hinder us, trying to slow us down, trying to stop us from preaching the Word of God to a lost and a dying world. He would love nothing more tonight than to stop you from sharing the Word of God to those who need to hear it. So we find as soon as they start out, they merely began their ministry, and the old devil's trying to stop them. And more times than not, the devil is trying to stop us from going on for the glory and the honor of God. Now, they move on, and we go to the synagogue, and they preach in this synagogue as it was a custom for Paul. Paul went to the Jew first and then to the Greek. So every city he went to, every town he went to, he would first stop into the synagogue. And he went to that synagogue, he preached to the Jew, and then he preached to the Greek. He preached to the Gentile. And he went to this certain synagogue there in Acts chapter 13, and he preached the gospel. Here's what I like about that text. You go back and look at it, you'll find as Paul and Barnabas enter into the synagogue. It was a custom in that day, from my understanding. If you was a man and you entered into that synagogue, you had an opportunity to say something. Much like we would do in a church today during a time of testimony. Has anybody got anything to say? So they go, and Paul and Barnabas, they go in this to the synagogue, and the time rolls around where they look at these men, these Jews of the synagogue, they look at these men, and they say, "Fellas, have you got anything to say? If you do, we'll say on." And here's what I like about Paul tonight. You didn't have to twist the Apostle Paul's arm to get him to say, his ear to get him to say something. You didn't have to pull his arm to get him to say something. When the opportunity was given, Paul was going to say something. He was going to just rear back and just preach the gospel. And that's exactly what he did in Acts chapter 13. He goes to the synagogue. They say, "Fellas, y'all got anything to say?" And Paul steps up and says, "Yeah, I got something today to say. Let me tell you about Jesus Christ. Let me show you in Scripture. Let me reason with you in Scripture what y'all been preaching, what y'all been teaching. Let me show you the Messiah that y'all rejected. He is the one true God. He is the one true Messiah. He is the one that Isaiah preached about, that Jeremiah preached about, that Ezekiel prophesied about. He is that man." So Paul would go to these synagogues and he would reason with them in Scripture. And here's what happened. Some liked it and some didn't. Here's what I found out about preaching even now in 2026. Some like it and some don't like it. You can preach this Bible and they're either going to like it or they ain't going to like it. Paul goes into the synagogue, he preaches Jesus Christ, he preaches the gospel to these Jews and to the Greeks that was there, and some liked it and some didn't like it. And those Jews that didn't like it, they got reviled up, they got worked up, they got upset, they got mad, so they went and they come to these men, Paul and Barnabas, and they got mad and they threw them out of the city. So they throw him out of the city. And here's also what I like about the Apostle Paul tonight. He steps back and he says, "Well, what are we going to do?" No, that's not what he said. The Bible says he shook the dust off and he went to the next town. He went to the next city. And you know what he did in the next city? You know what he did in the next town? He didn't change his message. He didn't change his Bible. He didn't change the scripture. He didn't change what he was going to preach. He just went to the next town and he preached the same exact message to those individuals. Tonight, when troubles come, you better learn as a child of God to shake the dust off. You better learn to get rid of it. Just get away from it. Walk away from it and continue on. Do as Paul and Barnabas and just continue on, plow on, labor on, and just continue to work for the glory of God. Now, when you get to chapter 14, does anybody want to guess what they run into in chapter 14? If you're thinking trouble, then you thought right. Exactly what they run into is they run into trouble. It starts off really good. They go to this city. They go to the town of Lystra. Here's this young impotent man is sitting there by the wayside, and he hears the Apostle Paul speaking. And he heard the words in which the Apostle Paul was preaching and speaking. And the Bible says, it tells us that he had the faith to be healed. He heard what Paul had preached, and he had the faith to be healed. And Paul knew what was taking place, and Paul knew that this man wanted to be healed. He knew that he wanted to be made whole. And so Paul cries out to this man and says, hey, get up. And the Bible says that this man stands upright and he leaped up. And when the people of Lystra saw this, they marveled and were astonished and looked at Paul and looked at Barnabas and said, these men are gods. They must be gods. Only gods could do what these men just did. What we just saw these men do, surely these men must be gods. And you and I know tonight the Apostle Paul and Barnabas are not gods, but we do know and understand that they was God's men. They was God's men. They weren't gods, but the people of Lystra took them as gods. They thought to them to be gods, insomuch that they were ready to sacrifice to them. They said, these men are gods. Hey, fellas, y'all go prepare the sacrifice. We're going to sacrifice to these men. And that's where we find the Apostle Paul. The Bible says he rents his clothes. He didn't want that to be spoke of him or talked about as he was a god. So he goes to these men. He says, listen, fellas, I ain't a god. Barnabas ain't a god. These men alongside me, we're not gods. But let me tell you about God. So he uses this as a time to tell them about the one true God. He said, now that we're talking about gods, let me share with you about the one true God. And no doubt, Paul gives them the gospel. And here's where I want to get with our message tonight. These very same men, they were ready to sacrifice to these men. They were ready to go get the best of the best and offer it up to these men as a sacrifice, are now ready to stone them. They went from sacrificing to stoning. And that's exactly what takes place. The Bible says that they took Paul out of the city and they stoned him nearly to death. They nearly killed the missionary. They nearly killed the Apostle Paul to death. Let me say this tonight. People change. People change. People will change on you. People will switch up on you. They may sing your praises tonight, today, and then they'll persecute you tomorrow. I'm reminded of another man tonight. As he come through that city of Jerusalem, they cried out. They said, Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. In the very same week, they said, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. People changed tonight. These men of Lystra, they changed. They said, no, we don't want to sacrifice to you no more. Rather, we want to stone you. And that's exactly what they did. They stoned the Apostle Paul. Talking about trouble, friend. Paul has seen some trouble and he's just getting started. He's already faced a lot of trouble. Surely this would be the last straw for him. Maybe after a man is nearly stoned to death, he would say, all right, that's it, Lord. I'm going to find me another occupation. I'm going to go back to the church in Antioch. I'm going to sit on that back row and I'm just going to live out my life till you call me home or you come back. I'm giving it up. I'm moving on. I'm just going to do something different. But notice what your Bible says in verse 20 and verse 21. It says, howbeit as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to the Brea. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and they had taught many, they returned again into Lystra. Paul shakes the dust off, and he goes right back to the stones. He goes right back to those very same people which nearly stoned him to death. What would cause a man to want to put himself through that? What would cause a man to want to go back to the very same people that nearly stoned him to death? I want to look at that for just a few moments tonight. What is the reasoning why somebody would go back to the stones? I'll give you three things and I'll be done. The first thing I want you to notice on why would a man return back to the stones? Why would Paul go back to the city of Lystra? Why would he go back to these people that almost nearly killed him by a way stoning? Number one, I believe you'll find Paul went back to evaluate. Verse 22, it says, confirming the souls of the disciples. I believe he went back to evaluate. You understand tonight, there were some converts in Lystra. There were some people that got saved in Lystra. There were some young believers in Lystra. And how many know tonight, a plant is most apt to die until it gets rooted. You transfer a plant, it's very, very fragile those first few days, those first few weeks until that plant gets rooted. And there were some young believers, there were some young converts there in Lystra, and Paul saw the great need and the great importance to go back into the stones, back to Lystra, and evaluate those believers. Look at them, confirm them, evaluate them, check up on them, and make sure that they don't go back to their old ways. You understand, a young believer is most apt to turn back, to go back to his old ways, to his old past, there at the very beginning. A young convert is easy to get shocked. My little boy over there, he's still learning stuff. He hasn't seen stuff his daddy's seen, but guess what? Things that shock him, it don't shock me. Because I've seen it. And Paul has seen some things. And Paul knew some things. And Paul was a little further down the road than these believers. So he saw the importance to go back to these young believers. You know what will hinder a growth in a young believer? You know what will hinder the growth tremendously in a young believer? Is if somebody just puts them out on their own, doesn't speak to them, doesn't talk to them, doesn't show them some things, doesn't teach them some things, doesn't confirm some things in them, doesn't evaluate their life. Somebody don't show them some things. You know why we give babies milk tonight? Because they're not ready for meat. They're not ready for meat. They must start with milk. They must grow first. They must develop first. And a young convert has got to get rooted. It's got to get watered before it ever grows. A preacher's job tonight is not only just to awaken the sinner out of their sleep, but it is also to evaluate and to establish the saints and help the saints. And these young converts were up against a lot. Now put yourself in their shoes tonight. Here's this man, this Apostle Paul, this missionary, goes to the city of Lystra. He preaches the gospel to them. They hear the gospel. They hear the word. They receive it. They believe it. They get saved. They get born again. And then the very same preacher that came to them preaching this glorious, wonderful gospel, now the same men are taking him out and stoning him. Imagine what that looked like to those young believers tonight. I know what it would have looked like for me. I would have wanted to crawl up my house or in a hole and say, ain't going to show my faith here. I'm going to be careful what I say around these men. They might do to me what they've done for him. And Paul saw the importance of going back to these young converts and telling them and instructing them and confirming them. And you and I have the same responsibility tonight as a church for young converts, for young believers, for teenagers, for kids, to explain to them to cling to Christ, to cling to His power, to cling to His might, to cling to His strength. Just stay with God, whatever it may cost you. You know what a young believer needs tonight? They need somebody to evaluate them. They need somebody to look at their life and say, I know what would help them. I've got something that would help them. They've not been through what you and I have been through. They've not seen what you and I have seen through. They've not maybe read all this that you and I have read. And they need believers a little further down the road to just go with them and remind them just to stay with God, to instruct them. They don't come to church and get stoned by the church member, then go to the schoolhouse and get stoned by the school members. They come to the church to get evaluated, to get established, to get helped along the way. It's good for us to teach them that, listen, God's way's right, God's way's true, God's word's right, Jesus will help you, stay with God, trust the Bible, get in your Bible and grow. grow. They need some confirming every now and then. You know what I needed when I first got saved? I needed somebody to come along the way and say, hey, this will help you. Or, hey, we don't do that. I thank God for the times my daddy said, son, we don't do that as Christians. You ought not do that. You're saved now. You don't do that as a Christian. I needed that. Well, you need that. I still need it today. A young believer needs to be evaluated. It won't hurt them. It won't hinder them. It will help them along the way. And I'm sure it done them a lot of good to see the Apostle Paul headed back in. There's that old preacher. There's that old missionary. He's coming back to us. He cared for him. He wanted to go and evaluate him, check on him, look at him, make sure everything was going all right. And sometimes as believers, we might have to sacrifice some of our comforts to see that a young believer stays with it. That'd be all right, wouldn't it? It'd be all right with me if I had to give up some things to see that my son and my daughter and those teenagers at my church, they stay with it, they go with it, they stay with God, and they continue in the work and continue in the labor and continue in the faith. That'd be all right with me. Sometimes we've got to go back and we've got to evaluate. Secondly, they return to evaluate. Secondly, they return to encourage. You know what every young believer needs tonight? They need encouragement. Verse 22, it says, and confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them. That exhorting means encouraging. They went back to them to encourage them. Paul had been in it long enough to know that if these young believers are going to stay with it, if they're going to stay with God, if they're going to stay with the Word, if they're going to establish a church, then they're going to need some encouragement. They're going to face some apostasy. They're going to face some rough situations. They're going to face these very same men that persecuted the Apostle Paul. They've got to live with those people. So they're going to need encouragement. You know what the young believer needs tonight? They need some encouragement. These young people, they need encouragement. They go to this school. You see all the wickedness. Even in the job sites, it ain't just at the school. You go outside the church doors. You see all the apostasy. You see all the wickedness, all the cruelness, all the naysayers, all the haters, all these things. They don't need to be coming into the church and feeling all that and receiving all that. They need to be coming here and being encouraged in the Word of God. Because the reality is you're going to walk out these doors. This ain't just for teenagers. This is for everybody. You're going to face frowns and you're going to face smiles. You're going to face hardships and you're going to face happiness. You're going to face lovers and you're going to face haters. You're going to face encouragers and you're going to face naysayers. You're going to face quietness and you're going to face noise. You're going to face a triumphance and you're going to face tribulations. You're going to face good days and you're going to face bad days. You're going to face dark days and you're going to face light days. And what every believer needs to continue in the faith is they need you and they need me to come alongside them and just encourage them in the Lord. Just encourage them in the faith. If you're going to make it, you're going to have to get some encouragement. And Paul makes it known that they're going to face tribulation. Sometimes it helps just to know, hey, you're going to go through some things. It helps when somebody says, Alex, you may not know this, but sometime down the road, you might go through this. Let me encourage you when that day might come. Paul says it. He says, you're going to face persecution. The Bible tells us all that will live godly shall suffer persecution. Jesus himself said it in John 15 and 18. He said, if the world hate you, know that it hated me before you. We're going to face persecution. If you're going to live for Christ, if you're going to live godly, if you're going to do right, if you're going to do what this Word says, you're going to face affliction. You're going to face tribulation. But Paul can go to them and say, hey, don't be moved. Don't back away. Don't cow down. Don't run away. Let me encourage you. Just stay with God. You know why? Paul could probably look at him and say, it ain't been penned yet, but he could probably go to him and say, hey, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Hey, that'll encourage a believer tonight. That encourages me tonight to know that I'm a more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Paul knew the battles that laid out in front of them. And rather than leaving them high and dry, rather than leaving them without warning, rather than leaving them without no encouragement, Paul goes back to the stones just to continue and encourage them in the faith. When's the last time you encouraged somebody tonight? When's the last time you just went to somebody and said, hey, I'm rooting for you, I'm behind you, I'm with you. Hey, I read this in the Bible today, it helped me, maybe to help you. That'll help us along the way in this walk of life. Paul went back because he saw a need. He saw he needed to evaluate them. He saw that he needed to encourage them. And lastly, he saw he went back because he needed to establish them. In verse 23, it says, And when they had ordained the elders in that church, in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. He returned to evaluate, he returned to encourage, and lastly, he returned to establish. You know what every young believer needs tonight? They need establishment. They need to get settled. They need structure. Hey, a church without structure won't last. A church without order will not last. It'll crumble. It'll fall. A young believer without structure won't make it. Don't misunderstand me. I know when we get saved, God sets us on the rock. We're on the cornerstone. We're on that firm foundation, and we won't be moved. But it ain't going to hurt for you and I to go and help establish. That is the model. I mean, you look at the model in Acts when the church sends out these missionaries, they're going to establish churches. They're going to establish young believers. And they said they ordained qualified men, sound men, faithful men, devout men, some overseers, and that every church needs that. It's just biblical. It's just biblical that every church has that. And those young converts, you know what they needed? They needed an established church that they could go back to. They needed some establishment in their life. You know why I'm a Baptist tonight? I'm a Baptist by conviction. But you know what helped me? Somebody established it in me. Somebody said, this is how you ought to believe. You know why I carry the King James Bible tonight? It's by conviction, but it's also because I had somebody establish it in me. They saw the importance of it. They said, hey, this is important. And they saw the need to establish some things in me. I can look back in my life and think of things that my papa or my pastor, people throughout my life that God's put in my life, that they've established some things in me. And I thank God for it. You know why? It's helped me along the way. It's been a help to me. It's been an encouragement to me. It's kept me grounded. It's kept me in the book. It's kept me in the faith because people took time and loved me enough to establish some things in me. Every young believer needs some things established in them. It ain't going to hurt you to go to a young believer and say, hey, this is why we ought to believe the King James Bible. This is why we are Baptist. This is why we do this. This is why we do that. We do it because this book says it. Let me show you in this book where it says it. Establish those things in them early, and it'll help them along the way. I'd say he returned back to the stones because he saw there was a great need for establishment there. He knew that these young believers, they needed to get rooted. They needed to get grounded. Therefore, he willingly went back to the stones. I would say this tonight, you ought to pray for young believers. I would pray that God put somebody on your heart, somebody that's new to the faith, that's not been saved very long. I'm just not talking about young people. I agree, young people too. We work with the young people at our church, and we pray for them often, every day. But even young believers, they may be 50 years old, they may be 10 years old, but they need these things. They need to be evaluated. They need to be encouraged. They need to be established in some things. I think it's a sad thing. A lot of churches have got away from taking us discipleship. I mean, we've gotten away from discipleship, taking a young believer and showing them what God's Word says and showing them why we believe, what we believe, and why we believe it. Every young believer needs that. I thank God tonight for somebody that took the time, cared enough about me to encourage me, to evaluate me, and to establish some things in me. I would say pray for your church tonight. Pray for the leaders of your church because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to establish some things in those young converts that get converted in this church or maybe come in here or these teenagers over there in the church, fellowship, I don't know where y'all go for Awana, but wherever it is you go over there with those young people, you're trying to establish some things in. You're trying to encourage. You don't know how much of a help that's going to be to them down the road. They may get out of church. They may get out in the world, whatever it may be. But if you've established the Word of God in their life, I promise you, it's gonna peep its head back in their life. That Word's going to come back to their heart. That Word's going to come back to their mind. And they're going to remember that face, that person that cared enough about them to establish some things in them, to encourage them, to evaluate them, to give them the Word of God. Paul went back to the stones because he saw the need. I wonder tonight, do you see the need? Do you see the need in the young believer? Do you see the need in the teenager? Do you see the need in the believer? I pray you do. There's a great need. I think the reason we get a lot of these churches that are just sprouting up everywhere you look, there's a church on every corner. And I'm not necessarily knocking names, but it says, you know, non-denom or this or that. Well, I don't know what you believe. And I wonder tonight, do they know what they believe? And I worry for the young people. I worry for the young convert. Are they going to go to the church down the road? And are they going to get established on Scripture? Are they going to get established in the Word? Are they going to get established in doctrine? Those things are important. I think they're very important. I think it should be important for your church that they make it a priority to establish these things in every young believer. I think it's worth going back to the stones. I think it's worth going back to some tribulations. I think it's worth going back to maybe some afflictions in your life just to see that a young believer can go another mile for the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that you'd bless it. I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you'd burden us with somebody, Lord, that we can take this word to and we can help encourage them along life's way, help them get established, help them get encouraged, Lord, through your word. I pray, God, for this nation. We pray for our leaders, Lord. We pray for our churches, Lord. I pray for our missionaries, God. I pray that you help them as they do your work, God. I pray that you give them boldness, give them souls for their labor, Lord. And we pray that you pray for this church, Lord. Pray that you help them during this time. And Lord, we pray for all those that are lost, Lord. I pray that we'd be a light and a witness to them, Lord. They'd see Christ in us, Lord. I pray that we decrease this week, Lord, and you increase, Lord. And we'll give you all the praise and glory and honor for it.